The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, March 6th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Housing, Taxes, and More. Mayoral Candidates Speak at ISU Forum, Others at Open House. By Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. Housing, taxation, and budgeting were some of the topics mayoral candidates in Bloomington and Normal were challenged to address during a candidate forum and open house hosted by WGLT. Bloomington Ward 6 Alderman Cody Hendricks, former Illinois State Representative Dan Brady, and Mayor Mboqua Mulambe met Tuesday evening at the Brown Ballroom of Illinois State University's Mohn Student Center to answer submitted questions. Each candidate was typically given 90 seconds to respond, with a 60-second opportunity to expand upon their response. Once the Bloomington candidates finished, Normal Town Council members Kathleen Lawrence and Chamberlain Harris and Mayor Chris Coos took the stage. Meanwhile, candidates for Bloomington City Council, Normal Town Council, Normal Township, and the McLean County Unit 5, Bloomington District 87, and the Heartland Community College boards set up tables in adjacent ballroom space to promote their campaigns. Bloomington Mayor. Heading into the 2026 fiscal year, Bloomington could be operating with a budget that is $21 million less than fiscal 2025. Estimates also show the city could be operating with a $6 million deficit by fiscal 2027. Therefore, each candidate was asked about the financial status of the city after establishing a flat property tax levy for 3 years in a row while costs continue to climb. Hendricks said he was the one who made the motion to maintain a flat property tax levy last year. I did not think that we as a community, from what I heard from constituents, were in the right economic state at home to increase that levy overall, Hendricks said. It is obviously going to present some challenges to us, but in my opinion, I think we have money available to some extent within reserves, and I do think that there are areas that we can look for efficiencies. He added that reviewing city positions through attrition rather than layoffs is a healthy step toward identifying cost savings. Brady said the city is going to feel the effects next year of the current fiscal year's $332 million budget, its largest spending plan to date. Although the priorities of most residents will be things like infrastructure, the city first needs to tighten its belt and set priorities on the kinds of services it should offer. This could mean bringing together certain agencies. You're not going to be able to have that money directed to those areas like infrastructure if it's in layers of bureaucracy, Brady said. Mulambe, meanwhile, said the city has sustained economic growth for the last 2 years, but not being able to reap revenue from it through property taxes has hurt the city. Residents also expect a high level of service from us, so I think it is important for us to be able to capture some of that growth in a way that is balanced, Mulambe said. One area that could have benefited from such revenue was police and fire services, he said. As first responders take longer to respond to calls, the city will have to make some difficult choices to support them, he added. Candidates were also asked about the lengths they would go to stimulate new construction that would encourage people with jobs in Bloomington to live in the city. Mulambwe said the city is working on a number of different resolutions to introduce standardized incentive packages, address zoning issues, and establish collaboration between other governments and nonprofits. According to an incentive plan presented in January, projects located within both a tax increment financing district and an enterprise zone would be eligible for a refund of up to 75% of the property taxes collected from the TIF district. The city could also waive 50 to 100% of city fees and waive sales taxes on all construction materials. Mulambwe said he expects these incentives to come up for a vote within the next couple of city council meetings. Hendricks said he would like to focus on zoning code reviews of parking minimums, lot sizes, height requirements, and other variables. However, the council has not been taking quick, decisive action on housing. This is a crisis, Hendricks said. I think we need to treat it as a crisis, and I think we need to be taking much quicker action. Brady said there are about 4,000 homes needed in the community, but there are many things that can be done. However, delays in votes for things like automatic zoning classifications for annexed property can discourage a builder or a developer. When asked what percentage of fees they'd like to see waived on an $11 million housing project, Mulambwe said he thinks the city should start at 50%. Hendricks said he would strongly support a 100% fee waiver, and Brady said he would like to see a large percentage of waivers, but only after consulting with the very people affected by the construction. Normal Mayor. One of the first questions posed to Normal's mayoral candidates was whether there was a time they voted for something considered unpopular because they felt it was the right thing to do. Lawrence pointed to her vote in September not to impose a local grocery sales tax to replace the one the state ended. At the time of the vote, Lawrence said it was becoming more and more expensive to live in Normal. And with a growing tent encampment and a growing number of households that can't afford basic needs, Lawrence asked what made Normal so special to demand more revenue. The grocery tax was ultimately adopted by a 4-3 vote. Lawrence said Tuesday she didn't buy into the argument that the loss of the grocery tax would put the town in a position to need a bigger tax down the road. Instead, she voted on behalf of residents and families who had trouble putting food on their tables. Coos said there are tough votes out there, but it is important to pay attention to your constituents. You're never going to be in a position that you can please every person every time you take a vote, Coos said. You have to understand that, so you go with your convictions of what you stood on as your platform when you got elected. Specifically, Coos pointed to the Children's Discovery Museum and other uptown businesses that residents didn't agree with at first, but eventually came to accept as beneficial. When the town council first voted to allow cannabis businesses, Harris said she was the first member to vote in favor. And it wasn't about legislating morality, Harris said. It was looking at the facts of what was being asked of us to do and voting accordingly on that. Bloomington City Council. Ward 1 Alderman Jenna Kearns is facing a challenge by Benjamin Zimmerman, who said some of the main issues in the ward are street disrepair, drainage problems, and the ongoing foul taste and odor of the city's drinking water. I think that we need to take care of the water long before later in 2025, which is what the message has been, Zimmerman said, speaking to a reporter during the open house. We need to address that issue as soon as possible, and simple carbon filtration would go a long way for the aesthetic issues they're calling with water. He said to reduce spending, the city should look to some of the consultants it uses at a national level. 2 years ago, the city adopted a $270,000 lobbying agreement with Thorn Run Partners, a Washington, D.C.-based firm, to advocate for federal funding. We have our own people to do that work, Zimmerman said. Kearns said one of the biggest priorities should be fixing the water and service lines containing lead in Ward 1. Currently, there are areas of town that are being prioritized and lines are being replaced along with the pavement above them, she added. When it comes to addressing the city's budget, Kearns said there are some short-term steps, such as delaying certain vehicle purchases, that could aid in negotiations, but staff should be careful not to delay any public safety measures. I think it's going to be very strategic to try to figure out how to make that budget work, but I really think that I have high regard for and I believe in our staff, Kearns said. They have the understanding and the expertise to figure out how to get us there. In Ward 9, Abby Scott and Roger Bedeker are vying for the seat being vacated by Alderman Tom Crumpler. Bedeker said sidewalks and lights are some of the biggest issues he's heard from his constituents, but the city as a whole needs to focus on safety, infrastructure, having a pro-business climate, and responsibly spending tax dollars. I think if we default to raising taxes as the answer, I think that's a slippery slope, Bedeker said. When it comes to housing, Bedeker added that he doesn't think anything can be ruled out, whether it's infill development or the redevelopment of existing property. Scott said infill development, rather than expanding on the city's edges, makes more sense in Ward 9, because there tends to be more new houses instead of blighted property. Long term, Scott said the city needs to expand housing and business. But in the short term, staff and the council should have an understanding of every single function within the city. There should be no one that we don't know what it is they do and why, Scott said. Normal Township. McLean County Board Member Crystal Abel is running for Normal Township Supervisor against candidate Chad Burke to succeed Jess Ray, who chose not to run again. Abel said the township has functioned really well under Democratic leadership over the last 8 years, and she would love to continue that legacy. However, the township's decennial report released last year identified a number of things that need prioritization. For one, Abel said, township employees are still paid by paper checks. We don't even have direct deposit, Abel said. She also said the township should also prepare for upcoming capital improvements, including the replacement of the roof at the Normal Activity and Recreation Center in the next 10 years. Burke said the three biggest responsibilities of the township are its roads, the operation of the senior center, and the oversight of its financial assistance programs. The township's general assistance program provides up to $425 in monthly financial assistance grants to those who may not have adequate income or resources to cover their basic needs. Those who don't qualify for this may apply for the township's emergency assistance program. We're just a small rung on the ladder, but we're the closest government to the people. And to me, I think it's awesome because it's a vital part, Burke said. He added that it will be important to practice fiscal responsibility so these services can expand as much as possible. We want to take care of as many people in these situations as we can, Burke said. Abel said she would like to see a greater push to promote these programs, which could be accomplished through social media. We do have a social media page for the senior center that staff runs, but I would really like to implement more aggressive social media and marketing of Township in general so that people understand, for one, what Township does, Abel said. The next story is entitled, Annie's Eats Owner Wins Cook-Off. Chestnut sponsors celebrity event for colorectal cancer awareness. By Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. Annie Clem, owner of Annie's Eats Carryout and Catering in Bloomington, was named the champion of Chestnut Family Health Center's Get Behind Good Health Celebrity Cook-Off. The free event was held on Tuesday afternoon in the center's Teaching Kitchen at 702 West Chestnut Street in Bloomington in honor of National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Clem competed against Matt Mollenhauer, Chief Clinical Officer for Chestnut Health Systems, while Jenna Smith, Nutrition and Wellness Educator for Illinois Extension, gave commentary and offered nutritional insight throughout the cook-off. She helped to make Clem and Mollenhauer's recipes healthier as well by taking the original recipes and making ingredient substitutions prior to the event, which she explained as the dishes were being prepared live. Clem's winning dish was a Salisbury steak with mashed potatoes, while Mollenhauer prepared his grandmother's Royal Noodle Burger recipe from the 1940s. Both celebrity chefs were recruited by Pam Curry, Integrated Healthcare Coordinator for the Chestnut Family Health Center. Clem also participated in Chestnut's Wellness Fair last summer, and she has also participated in similar cook-off events for her local church. Mollenhauer said his grandmother made up the title for the dish he prepared Tuesday. Why it says burger, I have no idea because, other than the fact that there's hamburger, he said. When I was a kid in the 70s, you know, everything was about casseroles. So this was pull stuff out of the pantry, noodles, meat, cheese, let's throw it in the pan and figure it out. Instead of ground beef and sour cream, though, Mollenhauer substituted turkey and Greek yogurt, and he did not use any salt for the dish. Before starting, he said he was looking forward to seeing how it turned out, since he has never tried a healthy version of it, and it has been years since he had eaten his grandmother's version. For Clem's dish, Smith recommended reducing the amount of salt and butter and using 90% lean ground beef and low-sodium beef stock. Non-fat milk was used for the mashed potatoes, and they were also made with less salt and butter. The cook-off is one of many events Chestnut Family Health Center will host this year, with a focus on health and wellness in the community, so people don't see the center as only a doctor's office, Mollenhauer said. This month, Chestnut is focusing on bringing awareness to colon cancer and encouraging residents to get cancer screenings. Dr. Cameron Herlock, a family medicine physician at OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, gave a presentation about colon cancer before the cook-off started, discussing when to go in for a screening. Herlock said the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force now recommends people 45 and older, instead of 50 and older, undergo a colonoscopy every 10 years. Those with family history of the disease or other colorectal disorders may need earlier and more frequent screenings. For example, if a person has a close relative who was diagnosed at 45, the task force recommends being screened 10 years earlier than the age when the relative received their diagnosis. So if that age were 45, the person should start being screened at 35. Herlock said colon cancer is the third most commonly diagnosed cancer in the United States for both men and women, noting the importance of early detection. If it is detected early, colon cancer patients have a 5-year survival rate of about 90%. But because of low screening rates, colon cancer is detected in that early stage, before it has spread to other parts of the body, just 39% of the time, the doctor said. Both Herlock and Smith were given awards for being outstanding contributors at the event. The issue hits close to home for the Annie's Eats owner, as her 31-year-old son, Cody Clem, was diagnosed with colon cancer 2 years ago. "I see the importance of being aware. We're on the other side of it right now. To know, to be aware, is really important that you need to get checked up," she said. "Taking care of yourself doesn't mean you just stop eating food. You learn how to do it different. I had to do that even with my kiddo. I've watched him, you know, change a lot of the way he has been eating. And he's a really healthy eater to begin with. That's what was so surprising for us. We're just making sure, you know, we get a lot more fruits and vegetables in our own diets now." Clem said she was also motivated to participate in the cook-off because she described her love language as food, feeding people, and making people happy. Smith, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist and teaches a program on diabetes management at Chestnut, said she has also been affected by colon cancer as her grandfather died from the disease. "We all know people who have had cancer before, and so it's always just important to be aware of it and to make sure that we do our screenings," she said. "I think colon cancer is one that everyone just does not want to do that screening, but to show that it's not that bad and it's so important to be able to, you know, hopefully prevent cancer in the future." Smith brought a couple of recipes of her own to share at the cook-off, including Jenna's Fiber Boost, a salad made with fennel, baby arugula, and apples, as well as Jenna's family favorite, a lighter broccoli salad. She noted Chestnut and Illinois Extension are always looking for ways to partner to help meet the needs of the community. Cook-off attendees had the opportunity to try the recipes and then voted between Clem and Mollenhauer's dishes, with the steak and mashed potatoes ultimately coming out on top. Guests also received recipe cards containing both the original recipes and healthier versions for them to try at home. Smith said she hoped guests learn how to modify any recipe at home with a few minor tips and adjustments. "Simple changes can really go a long way toward healthier eating, and hopefully those changes will stick for a lifetime," Smith said. "It's not just, okay, now I know how to do this, but now implementing that every day," she said, "of making long-term changes. That's what I hope that people will take out of it." The next local story is entitled "Man Sought After ISP Sexting" by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A McLean County judge ordered an arrest warrant this week for a Galesburg man accused of traveling to meet a minor for sex. Steve Adma, 21, was scheduled to appear Monday before Judge Jason Chambers after the prosecution filed a petition aimed at revoking his pretrial release. Adma, along with five other men, appeared in McLean County custody in January, following an Illinois State Police sting operation in which the agency created online advertisements for sexual services. They are charged in six separate, unrelated cases under similar circumstances, prosecutors said. Adma is charged with traveling to meet a minor, a Class 3 felony, two counts of indecent solicitation, one charged as a Class 3 felony, and one charged as a Class 4 felony, solicitation to meet a child, a Class 4 felony, and grooming, a Class 4 felony. He is accused of contacting the advertisements and arranging to meet with an undercover ISP officer who he believed to be an underage girl, offering sex for money, beginning on January 8th. The state filed petitions to detain Adma and the other five defendants, but he and four others were released from custody after their initial appearances. The McLean County State's Attorney Office filed petitions for relief to reconsider their release weeks ago, arguing the original judges made mistakes when they ordered the men be released. Adma failed to appear for his hearing Monday, which Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Guido said his office believed would happen if he were released. Assistant Public Defender Nicole Mannon, representing Adma, told the court her client was unable to appear because his car was seized upon his arrest in January, and he does not have a driver's license. Chambers issued a warrant for Adma's arrest at the state's request. The five other defendants arrested in this ISP sting include Nathan J. Hansen, 45, of Bloomington, David B. Turan, 25, of Bloomington, Michael A. Morris, 33, of Forest City, Khalid M. Farah, 21, of Arlington Heights, and Larry M. Miller, 60, of Tolono. They faced the same charges as Adma, and Hansen is additionally charged with unlawful possession of a controlled substance, a Class 4 felony. Morris was the only defendant detained at his initial appearance. Since the January hearings, Hansen, Turan, and Farah have been detained at subsequent court hearings. Miller is scheduled for his next court appearance Friday, in which the judge will consider the state's motion seeking the revocation of his release. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for March 6th. Please stay tuned.